star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Doing very well. Had a big birthday this week. It was very exciting. We were supposed to record on my birthday, but the guest said, I don't want you to have a good birthday, so I'll push it back a few days.
That's right. He did say exactly that. Birthday Grinch. It's very sad. And I feel like it would be a shame to not to bring him in after you make such an accusation. So the man who likes to be called H Dog, Mike Amber, is here. Hello, Mike.
Hey. Yes, I do prefer H Dog. Tommy, I didn't know it was your birthday.
I know you didn't know.
It was his one wish.
I know you're. Why would you wish to do a podcast on your birthday? Any, just getting the equipment out is enough for me to be like, let's just pass.
It was, I had the cake all set up in front of the Zoom recording. I was going to have you blow out the candles over the Zoom. It was all
right,
planned.
Right. And I remember I did tell you to let's push it like, maybe 5 minutes before we were about to record.
It was more noticed than that.
No, it was more. I understand how podcasting scheduling works. It sucks.
You're the second musician we've had on the show, Mike. You got the big sloppy boys. We had a guy from Umphrey's McGee, which might be a band you like, as a jam band fan, since we're talking about a jam band today.
We'll get into how I'm not a big jam band fan.
Ooh, intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into it now if you want.
Sure.
it's not that exciting. So we'll be talking about the band Fish today, but I like Fish, the Grateful Dead, and Dave Matthews Band still. I still hold a flag up for them.
Okay.
But, I never listened to Widespread Panic or Umphrey McGee or Moe or String Cheese Incident. None of those really took to me. I don't think I've ever heard a song from Umphrey McGee. And if I did, I didn't know it.
You certainly, if you had, you might know that it is Umphrey's McGee.
Yeah. Hey, you're putting it all on one man. It's all of them.
Yeah. Umphrey's. He should know better.
I was just watching the documentary about Fish, Bittersweet Motel. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, Todd Phillips directed.
That was the shocking fact to me.
Director of War Dogs.
Yes, most famously War Dogs.
For War Dogs.
And this is bringing me my first question. Do you think that Fish is like Joker?
I never really had anyone else express it besides me many, many times at concerts. These guys are like Joker, you fucking assholes. I can't leave a Fish concert without crying because nobody will listen to me.
Did you see Trey this week? He was in New York, right?
Just saw him last night.
You saw him last night.
That's right.
I
couldn't find a ticket, and I was like, I kind of didn't even realize it was happening because I was just in the world of other stuff. And then when I was like, when is Trey playing again? I was like, oh, it's this week. So I went on a great little app that a friend of mine or my cousin turned me onto called Cash or Trade. And it is just a bunch of heads on there. We're moving tickets around. It's very fun. It's a good community.
So what are people trading? That's my question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes. That's what I was like. Oh, I got some things around here I could give up. But I was like, it's mostly tickets. Like, trade a ticket for me.
There's no boosting ass.
Well, my cousin turned me on, too.
Would you stop that? I was ready to get rid of like my whole DVD collection because I have it all digitized anyway. So I said, I can give the Bottle Rocket Criterion collection up.
Dude, it's
I got
impossible.
Two of them.
It's impossible to get rid of a DVD right now. I had to put all mine on the curb. Nobody would take them. I thought I had a nice little collection. Nobody cares anymore.
Well, we just did a while ago for the Sloppy Boys podcast. For our Patreon, we do a thing called the Blowout, which is sort of, so the podcast in general is we make cocktails and talk about them, but the Blowout, we just do whatever. So Jeff wanted to do the Mario Brothers movie, and you could only find it on DVD. So I had to go out and buy a DVD player for like $40.
Oh my God.
Went to Best Buy.
It does seem high.
Well, that's because there's none left. Nobody.
I know.
Can you not play can you play a DVD in like a PlayStation 5 or like a PS4 or whatever?
I don't know.
Or if I actually don't know either.
Or if they just read Blu-rays and
right.
Get out with your crap. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. This DVD player is like a Sylvania. There's Sylvia, you know.
Oh,
what
that's a good
about?
One. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, it is. The remote control is so light; it feels like there's nothing. Like it's empty. It's a used up candy remote.
I'm so excited that you just saw Trey, because a lot of times we have people on and we're like, "Oh, have you ever seen this band that you really wanted to talk about live?" And they're like, "Oh, no."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You saw him last night. So how was it? How was the show?
Last night, well, it was an interesting show, and I will say that. It is cool to like a band that is still touring. Like, I think, you know, if you're growing up and you're like, you know, if I was a Nirvana fan, mm-hmm. I can't really listen to Nirvana anymore. You see him live anyway. This is a story. I think I've told the story on other podcasts. So if listeners, if you've heard of me on other podcasts, just bear with me. I remember I bought the In Utero CD, the Nirvana In Utero CD. And soon after that, Kurt Cobain killed himself. And I remember walking down the stairs, like on a Saturday morning, and like going to eat breakfast. And my dad was like, "Hey, Mikey, you know that guy whose CD you just bought killed himself?"
Oh my God!
I was like, "Oh, that's pretty intense, Dad."
Yeah, weird energy to be saying this with. Yeah,
some good morning energy. Hey,
he's dead.
He's dead. Yeah, my dad had good morning energy in the sense that had the like, "Hey, I've been up. I've already been out picking strawberries by the time you woke up." Listing off the chores he's done before I've even woken up. But the show last night, yeah, so you get to still see the Fish band play, and they're touring this summer. I'll probably see one of those. But it was a lot of fun to see Trey, because it was just him, an acoustic guitar, a pianist, and like a string quartet. And sometimes they would play with him. Sometimes it would just be him and the pianist, sometimes just him. But it was it's a unique experience. Because I was there alone, by the way. No one,
no pianist,
people don't, yeah,
no accompaniment. Yeah.
Well, they didn't have to, we all came together, and my accompaniment couldn't come in. So Fish is a band that a lot of people do not like.
Yes,
they hate the band, they hate me for liking the band.
A lot of people,
a lot of strangers come up to me and like just start shoving me around. What's going on?
You know what this is for,
you know what this is about. We heard you on one podcast once. So no one would go with me. It was like, even my deadhead friends, a few in New York here, I was like, "Hey, if we get cheap tickets," like, kind of busy with something. One friend told me he was worried about a new strain, the coronavirus. So the Delta strain. So I was like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's nothing. He just did too much of a deep dive into."
I've been hearing about that. I feel like people are just like, they wanted another excuse not to go anywhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now
yeah,
they
yeah,
have it.
Well, it was alive and well last night at the Trey concert. People dropping. No, it was so I was there by myself, which is a weird, if I was like in my 20s and not in my 30s, going to a concert alone would be like, "I'm a fucking loser, man. No way." But now if I'm going to a show that I really want to go to, I will go by myself and be the weirdo who, you know, I showed up late. So the lights are all down. I have no idea where my seats were. And it was a crowd that was like very much, "We found our seats. Like, this is where we sit."
Seated event. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say what venue it was? Did you already?
It was O'Beacon.
Oh,
beautiful, beautiful place. I love the Beacon.
Beautiful place. I'd never been there before.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And it's nice to have a seat sometimes.
It is nice to have a seat. I agree with that. I sat down for a second and then got right back up when they played Tweezer Reprise. But yeah, so you're just kind of, so I was the weirdo who showed up late. All the lights were down and I'm like, have no idea where my seat is, and just kind of like shuffling in next to someone kind of on the aisle. And then eventually a usher is like, "You can't be in the aisle." So I had to move somewhere else and finally found a spot way out of the way. And it was just like, "Fine, I'm here. Leave me alone."
And then you read your novel and listened to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I got my little light on my hat. Chapter one. Call me. Hold on. What? I do. Do you know how to pronounce his name?
Is it Ishmael?
Oh, no, this can't be right. Yeah, so the show was fun. Older crowd, definitely like the Fish crowd is like growing up. But when you do 2 years ago, in the before the pandemic, when I saw them live, there's still some like young people there who younger than I would expect, like some teenage kids. And I was like, huh, how do you know about this? Or is this ironic now?
Yeah, I would bank on ironic.
They're yeah.
Like, ooh, we like yeah. drugs. All the kids are straight edge now.
I went to a concert in LA once. It was the Joe Russo's Almost Dead. It's like a Grateful Dead cover band. It's pretty good. Anyway, these fucking teenage kids came in dressed in like brand new tie-dye stuff and like, you know, tinted John Lennon glasses and just looked like when you go to like the Halloween store and buy like hippie costume. And I was just like, I don't get if they think this is dumb or what's going on here. So I was like, kids, what grade are you in? How you doing? What does this sound like to you?
Have you been to like, are you someone who's been to like 100 shows? Are you one of these people?
I've been to, for Fish, I've been to probably like 30.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yeah. I've had friends though that have been like in the 300s and stuff like
it's
that.
Wild.
It's, wow.
It's wild. I can't imagine just getting the fucking funds together for something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Like there were bands that I loved that I would see like, I saw, there's a couple bands I saw three times in 1 year and that was like, oh, that's too many. Like twice is great, but even the third time, you know?
What band like three times in a year? That's a lot.
In high school, I saw Weezer three times in the same year. And they're also not the best live band. I still,
Are they playing the same show when you go?
There's someone who does. I mean, they're kind of the opposite of Fish where they literally, they played like note for note their songs. Craziest thing they'll do is they'll like switch instruments for a song and you have to act like shocked that that's happening, you know, but it's not. I still really love a couple of their albums, but and I did the same thing with Death Cab, which is a band I don't listen to at all anymore, but I saw them three times in 1 year and I remember that's being funny. Like this is a little too much.
What now would that have been like in the same town and everything, or did you have to try, because I can't imagine a band coming back three times.
Well, yeah, to Chicago, and then did you go to like Milwaukee or something?
So it was just like the way it happened that year, where because like Weezer had their own tour and then they did a tour with Foo Fighters, which I think they've done a couple times. Like Death Cab, one of the shows was like a XRT radio show, like it wasn't like an official concert. It just like happened that I was able to see both of them three times in the same year. But yeah, I can never picture like touring with a band in the way that people right. do with yeah. bands.
Yeah, and I think it comes from like the Grateful Dead or Fish not doing the same set each night. Mm-hmm. And if you're into the jamming and stuff, that can be an exciting thing. And it's obviously a lot of drug influences. Like I had this experience on this jam at Antelope Valley when they did Tube, you know. It was just like,
are you partaking in the old, like, because I read a lot of stories before we got on here. I've never seen them live, but I've read a lot of stories and almost all of them were like, so we took these bunk jellies or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. And then mushrooms and stuff. Are you tripping around on this?
I am high. So I'm a jogger. So I will just jog around in the show and get a runner's high going. And it's really, I'm on a different level than everybody.
Now, the marathon bib on.
An old crinkly marathon bib.
Go to a hospital, he's overdosing.
Slow down. Just sit down and slow down and also shut up. I am not treated well when I go out to concerts because I'm screaming. Play the songs I wrote down on that piece of paper. I got into Fish when I was in sixth grade, and I don't think I didn't go to any concert under the influence of anything until I was like maybe in out of college. Mm-hmm. Like I smoked a little weed in college, but it was definitely one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm smoking weed, I cannot go talk to anyone.
Right. Yeah.
And there's no way I can get to a concert unless someone is like holding my hand and driving me in.
Same.
But I've, you know, as the years have gone on, I've had a little weed. I may have partook a little last night, as they say. I've been to a show on mushrooms before, and that was fun.
Yeah, that seems like the place to do it. I was thinking about because I went to see I saw Dave Matthews in a field, and people were that was before I was really a mushroom guy, but yeah. I never tried them. I mean, but everybody was smoking weed, and I was like, that seems like too much for me. I can't talk to people or whatever. And so
yeah,
but it does seem like the right environment for it.
It is, and I think it's I don't know. I think it's one of those things where if you know what's going on or know what you're in for, it's a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm no expert.
That's like one of the main criticisms people give of fish is that you have to be high to like it.
Yeah.
I think this is another reason people get mad at their fans or whatever, because so many of the stories, I went on this weird radio website where they had the top 5 fish stories from listeners, and every one of them was like, and then we were so fucked up, I don't even remember what happened after that. It's like, do you even like this?
What? I know, it almost becomes like, I think that's also the big sort of criticism is like fish fans. You know, you've got the Grateful Dead fans that were like hippies that kind of grew up in the 80s, and then those fans became like, you know, yuppie-ish people. And I think the fish fan critique is like, yeah, it's all kind of just like rich kids who do a bunch of drugs and are just kind of like, it's a party rather than like an experience the way like the Grateful Dead thing might have been. But yeah. Either way, you can have fun. It's still just a fun show. But I can understand that critique.
I think we should hear some music before we go much further.
Why don't we play a fish song?
Yeah, let's. I was
hell. We're talking about them.
Dua Lipa has been putting some.
Yeah, sure. Throw her in the mix.
I just want to set a mood.
Oh, Dua Lipa is my favorite artist. I don't know why we got off talking about fish.
Oh shit.
She's great. Levitate.
Oh. All right, so you sent us an order here, but you also mentioned that
oh yeah, we don't have to play it in this order. Let's play, you know, if we're talking about, let's play the song Possum there that you got.
Okay, is there a specific part you want to hear here?
Just play from the beginning. This is a song I really, so you know, Fish is obviously a very live band. If you're like a Fish fan just on the studio albums, that I don't think anyone does that. But so this is a song I really like hearing live. It's got a good like charge up in the beginning, and then you'll see it pops off, and usually the lights go crazy there, and everyone's grooving around. So,
hell yeah,
enjoy.
All right,
we're gonna be playing these in full. So,
isn't this like 27 minutes
today? All right, here's Possum live at Hampton from 1998. Keep going.
Thank you.
This is when all you start right, getting start getting shoved around.
Yeah. Right here. See, now that's a long, that was embarrassing to listen to because it was so long leading up, and I know it's coming, but as I'm looking at you two, not enjoying this necessarily.
Oh, stop. I just do everything while the songs are playing to avoid eye contact on the Zoom. Goal, no matter what, like it or not. And I did enjoy the build into the groove, you know?
It's fun. It's a fun groove. It's a very fun groove. That's a song from, there's this big like story thing that Trey made when Trey was in college. Part of the part of his like graduate thesis or something was creating this big like long opera, rock opera type thing. Maybe that's the wrong word. Anyway, it's songs that relate to this one story. And Possum is the very end of it. And it's a thing called Game Henge. So when you hear people talk, oh, they played Game Henge. It's pretty rare, but they play the songs and he tells the story and it's exciting. It's exciting for me.
Well, you can see how excited we are here.
Yeah. I feel like when I talk about this stuff, I should be careful not to like, not to get too deep into what's going on because it's just sort of, you just glaze over. I had a friend of mine and I went to the, one of the Madison Square Garden, New Year's shows a couple years ago. And the girl I was dating at the time, well, he and I went and, the girl I was dating at the time stayed at home with her friends and did like a New Year's Eve thing. And as we were going, I was like to my buddy, I was like, hey, should we get tickets for them or something? And he's like, you know what? We can if you want, but like, I don't think they're going to have fun. There's just so many like weird things going on at a show like this. You sort of have to be like last night, for instance, there were songs. It was basically like a sing-along because everyone knew the parts and stuff so well. Mm. It's like if you don't know what's kind of going to happen, it's like, well, this is all weird and a weird secret language that's going on. Yeah. If you want to get into it, that's cool. But if you don't, it's just kind of feels, why is everyone going woo at one certain part of a song?
Yeah. People yelling Wilson and all that.
Yay. Okay. I did say that's a fun one. Yeah, good opener. Yeah.
I did. They had a clip in that documentary of one of the New Year's Eve Madison Square Garden shows, and it did look really cool.
Where he's popping all the balloons.
He's popping the balloons. I was like, this is cool. And I've said on the show before, but anytime I watch a documentary about the band, I start to like that band, whatever it's just like something about it.
Totally.
I only ever go to Madison Square Garden to see JD and the Straight Shot open. And
those are our boys.
They open for the Eagles, right?
You need to do an episode about JD and the
I know. Yeah.
He's the guy who owns the building, right?
Yeah, the Knicks. Yeah.
He's a horrific musician who books himself to open and then has a bunch of studio or a bunch of session musicians join him.
Is he the singer?
He is the singer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe, but just very bad.
Yeah.
I could be wrong with the guitar, but yeah, he sings. And, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that he's a millionaire, that he owns the building, that he is on that show.
Of course.
Talented, and
he was in the right place at the right time.
Okay. We got hot off the presses. We got another segment to get to because. Ooh. Our friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, our resident snob. I asked him for his thoughts. He gives us his thoughts each week on the bands that we do. And prepare yourself because this man spits hot fire of hate. He right at the last second did send in his thoughts. So I'm going to play a little voicemail from Jared. This is our weekly segment. They went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's He Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Fish. So as like a late model Grateful Dead fan, 10 years or so that I've been listening to the Dead, it kind of goes hand in hand with Fish. But the thing is, for me, the stuff I like about the Grateful Dead are the albums. Like there's four or five albums that I really like. Certainly not cover to cover, except for maybe, like American Beauty is probably their only cover to cover album. But with Fish, I think that most people that like both is because they like the Grateful Dead live stuff. And I can't stand either one of those bands' live stuff because it's just too much. And So I admittedly have never given Phish, you know, like their regular albums a chance. I mean, I feel like that sort of like if you're an Insane Clown Posse fan, like, you know, I don't really know if like going to see them live is going to change your view on Insane Clown Posse. You're either a juggalo or you're not, right? So with Phish, it's not like listening to the albums is really going to help me any. So I think I just don't like the vibe, and I also don't, you know, much like a lot of Dead fans, and this goes for like Cubs fans, even, like they certainly get dinged because of the fan base. So I think it's kind of a mess what I've heard musically, and I know that they're good at what they do. It's just not something that appeals to me at all. So anyway, I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
That was Jared.
And his makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Oh, all right.
The Insane Clown Posse thing. I would love to go to Insane Clown Posse show because it seems like a wild time. But you then go back and listen to the, like I could picture going to the show being like, that was nuts. And then going home and listening to the albums and being like, I have no idea how this fits in. This does not seem like the same thing. Gwar is another band like that.
To be honest, I think it would be kind of fun to go to an ICP thing, like the Juggalo shit.
Yeah,
but watching the documentary about it, I was like, this does seem interesting,
and just insane that it's like so big. Because I thought when they first came out, I was like, okay, this will be gone very soon. But it just got like huge, and it's like a family of people who enjoy it. Hey, and you can't fault people for that.
No, can't fault them.
You can try.
I wouldn't do it if I were you.
I wouldn't. I'm with you, Tom.
All right, let's hear another song here.
You know what? Speaking of albums, let's go with the song Down With Disease. This is off an album called Hoist. And this was out, I think, in 94. And it's probably like the most, what am I trying to say here? The time that a studio album from Phish sounded most like what was being played on the radio. If that makes sense. Like it was close to grungish.
For sure.
Not even grungish. This is all very wrong. It's just the lyrics make a little more sense or seem a little more kind of like grungy than some of their weirder stuff earlier. Anyway.
This I feel like this is the most radio like song.
It probably was a single at the time.
All right, let's hear Down With Disease.
This was the one song on the playlist I'd heard before, and I liked it back when I heard it, and I still like it now. I've not changed.
That lyric, this is looking forward to the time when I can finally say this has all been wonderful, now I'm on my way, does sound like something a band would be saying in 94. Like,
yes.
That sort of angsty sentiment.
Supposedly, this is the only Phish song to be given music video treatment. Directed by bassist Mike Gordon, it failed to get any airplay and has been hugely ignored. B2 played it occasionally. It did, however, appear on Beavis and Butthead, only to be turned off a second later.
Well, aren't those guys a little stupid?
I think that they don't.
Beavis and Butthead aren't the smartest guy.
I like that Cornholio. He seems up and up.
I just rewatched the movie recently. It is so funny. Like those
I just started watching King of the Hill, and I was like, I gotta watch everything this guy did. It's
Yeah. He's good.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, let's hear some more music here. What shall we listen to next?
Okay, let's do this is a newer song. Actually, you know what? Let's play the Jay-Z song.
Okay. So,
Jay-Z, right. They were playing in Brooklyn, and Jay-Z came on stage with them. And you'll hear, I edited it together a little bit, so just so it wasn't like too slow. But
this is it's something that happens a lot. If anyone's doing a show in Brooklyn, Jay-Z kind of happens to come on stage at some point.
That's kind of annoying. Trying to do a bit here, Jay-Z.
He's like, what band is this? I'll try to sing along. But you can see, I wasn't there. I've only heard this one YouTube clip, but it seems like Jay-Z is not too into it.
All right. Here is a Fish and Jay-Z.
How excited we are to be playing here in Brooklyn, and we're going to bring out a friend of ours who's Brooklyn's own great musician and great singer and great musician. He put it together for Jay-Z.
You guys, you having fun? You having fun out there? Brooklyn, make some noise! If you haven't got problems, I'll prepare for you, son. I got 99 problems, but yes! 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 I love this. Got the rap troll on the cat control. Foes that want to make sure my cast is closed. Rap critics say he's money cash on. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those?
Wait, did that keep going? It just cut off on my thing here.
Oh, that's fine. We've all heard the better version of that song before.
Everyone's favorite singer, Jay-Z.
Oh my god, yeah, he's a great musician, great singer, a great musician,
the crooner.
yeah. Now look, I'm a big Jay-Z fan. I like what he does. I think when his backing band is like not Fish, he's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that the back, like the band just sounds so like tinny or lame or something.
Well, it's also especially since he did that song with Linkin Park too, and we just talked about we did a Linkin Park episode. We actually really liked those mashups with Linkin Park, so it's funny to do it with another band. And it's just like, yeah,
I think he was like, well, it worked with Linkin Park, let's just try it with anything. I think we found something here.
There is at the end of that song, and then they go into the song's like bah, 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 bah.
It's Big Pimpin'.
Yeah. Big Pimpin'. They do that one too. But after this song, after 99 Problems, Jay-Z's like, oh, this is where you guys have been hiding. I didn't know about this. Like, kind of this weird like praise or something. Like, he doesn't, that wasn't good to him. That didn't sound good, did it? Or feel good? Like, I can't imagine.
Can't have felt good. There's no way that felt good, the way that the music was mashing up with what he was doing.
But yeah, Jay-Z showed up.
Right. Good for Jay-Z though, getting out. Wait, where was that at? You said that was in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
Like, was it like the Barclays Center or something? It sounded like
This would have been probably before the Barclays Center was. That's kind of a newish building, right?
That's
not just a redone building.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was before that. Some Brooklyn Bowl. Does that, would that be right? I've never been there.
That's a, not a huge, how big is Brooklyn
Bowl? Oh, Brooklyn Bowl is like a actual bowling alley, right?
Yeah, but yes. It's a venue, okay. Too, but it might be, I would think it was too small for them.
Yes.
Oh, I'm it's thinking, I think it's like a Park. Bowl,
like the.
Oh, there we
so go. This was an outdoor show at a park.
That makes way more sense. Okay.
Which is park. Weird because it sounded so tight.
Oh, that was, yeah, that makes more, way more sense. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what shall we hear next?
Well, this is, you know, we all know Phish is the, they've got a billion songs, and a lot of those songs are cover songs that they've sort of just like moved into their repertoire. You know, when they did that MSG, did you know about this? The Baker's Dozen?
Oh, I
remember my friend, our friend and past guest, I think Brett Arnold went to a few of those shows. They just did like a bunch of shows in a row at MSG.
Yeah,
right?
they did 13 in a row without repeating a song. That was the
interesting thing. Oh, wow.
So two sets a night and not repeating a song. And in 2017, so this is a song that was one of those because they can pad out a huge set. It's called Loving Cup. It's originally by the Rolling Stones, and it's one of my fave covers.
Hell yeah. All right, let's hear Loving Cup.
So how do people not go crazy when he says the word fish? That's my question. Shouldn't the crowd go wild?
Yeah, well, everyone turns it PH. He means PH.
No,
I know. I'm missing it now because I'm talking to you. Well, turn your head away from me and look up there. Okay, I will.
The F, though.
That F, though. But you know it was F because originally it's an F, but they're doing a thing. So you probably don't know if you could tell when he said the line, you know, I play a bad guitar. Mm. Oh, no, Corruption. You don't, Trey. You're the fucking Jedi. Mom. You're the guy. That's, they refer to him as the Jedi. I was like, what is this Trey Jedi stuff? Like, where did that start? And there was some article that was like, Trey actually might be a Jedi. I was like, God, what does this even mean?
Yeah, what could that mean?
That he has been in the movie Star Wars, I think.
Oh, okay.
Could only mean that.
No, it's actually, that whole universe is real. And
yes. Oh, good. Good. Yeah, then okay.
It was Infowars.com. And
that actually brings me to a topic I wanted to get to here. I wanted to play kind of a game here with you, Mike. I wanted to see, I'm sorry, H-Dog.
Hey, I don't play games.
Did you come here to make friends?
No, I did not. I did not come here to make friends or play games. If you're looking for hookups, swipe right.
Wait, so you are just looking for hookups?
Let's see. Swipe right? Which one is that? Is right yes or no?
Right is yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's swipe. Huh? Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. You had a game, Tom.
There we go. So I'm
just trying to keep current.
I knew this to be true, that there is a lingo in fish fandom that is it's like a secret language almost. And so I found a list on Reddit here of fish related terms, and I would love if you would define these if you know.
Okay. This will be, I think, tough for me, because as this is my favorite band, there are people who are much more into it than I am. And when I come across these people who are like, oh man, I saw them at Dick's in 2018 and the fucking Jam on Lizards. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
So some of these are not, I think that this is just someone being like, oh, this is something fish people use, but it's not like noob is on here, and that's not you know, specific. But the one that relates to what we were just talking about, which is Star Wars, is Wook is on here, and I have heard Wook, but only from a very specific group of hippie friends. Do you know what a Wook is?
I will say I don't think I do, but I want to guess that a Wook is like somebody with a big beard.
Similar. Yeah, it says, so this is saying a dirty, smelly, sketchy creature. Dreadlocked hair resembles poop, and in some cases is poop. They may or not resemble and sound like Chewbacca, but they will definitely be less reliable.
Okay.
So that's that. This is one I'd never heard of before. A chomper.
Whoa, I've never heard that either. Is it someone who's like, who's on some drugs and they're like, jaws are kind of getting tense?
Ooh, it's a good guess.
Tommy, you have a guess here?
Someone with dentures, I would say.
An old person.
So apparently it's, I mean, you kind of mentioned that we were doing it a second ago. It's someone who talks during songs rather than after they've And it's an example is, this fucking chomper wouldn't shut up during Divided Sky.
Well, that's a fucking no-no, but... if that is funny, because like there are the level of people who do give a shit about that, and it's like, don't talk, like, come on. Last night, for instance, there was this thing that the audience was doing. They kept going to Trey at one point, because somebody started doing that because other people were chattering around them, and everyone in the building could hear it. So we all started doing it as this like fun thing or whatever. And the guy behind me definitely did not like the chompers, because he was, every time people would like start doing that shush thing and like laughing, it was kind of fun. He was like, all right.
I thought it was fun. Reddit later and complain about the chompers.
Yeah.
All right. Next one here is there's a lot here. So I'll just pick a few. Spunion.
Someone who's spun out on drugs.
I think you got that one. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard any of these before except Wook.
This is a person who not only takes too many drugs, but whose appearance, speech, and or actions lets everyone else know they've taken too many drugs. The Spunion next to me told me Trey impregnated him with this guitar and he's about to go into labor.
Yeah. That was me last night. I was a Spunion last night. I got out of my Uber because I took the wrong train. I was on the opposite side of the park. So I got in my Uber and got out spunioning all over the place.
Where's my seat?
You ever yell at the Uber driver and ask him where your seats are? That's when you know you're a spunion.
You might be a spunion.
If you ask the Lyft driver if you have to get a wristband for the loge, you might be a spunion.
If you ask the train conductor if you need an Excelsior pass to get into the fish show.
If you think a chomper is...
Well, that worked. That one actually was going to work great, so I didn't want to finish it. I'm saving that one for myself.
For the act.
Yeah. That's for my late night hosting audition.
All right, I'll just do two more here. Let's see here. How about here we go. A fluffer.
Someone who likes the song Fluffhead?
Ooh, is that... This is... Tommy, you got a guess here?
I mean, I know the famous porn term, well, but I do not know how it would relate to fish.
We wouldn't do... We don't talk about shit like that on this show, Tommy. You know better. Fluffer is a person who defends a show or song regardless of its quality relative to previous performances or material. You... This says, you might be a fluffer if you thought the first set from Banger 2 was straight fire.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
I love it.
Like, see, I think of... A fluffer probably tends to be someone who is like having their own experience and thinks it's so great. And that, like, I would do that in like improv shows or something. If I was like having a lot of fun or like just kind of having fun, whatever, Mike. then after the show, somebody would be like, that wasn't very good. I was like, oh, really? I loved it. I think we did a great job. Because I had fun. And I got to do some of my characters. Don't join a practice team with me, everybody. Do not.
Ooh. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to skip that one, but I'll read it after. Damn, it's hard to pick this last one because there's a lot of goofy ones here. How about a tarper?
Someone who is on a tarp.
That's essentially it. I don't think this needs to be a thing, but it says entitled fans. I feel like this pissed off one person. It says entitled fans who think their love of the band means they can use plastic tarps to reserve an overabundance of space.
Okay.
Crew. I believe this is a quote. I believe making fun of these people. This is the voice of a tarper. I believe my enjoyment of this concert supersedes your enjoyment for totally arbitrary reasons. And because I'm a tarper, want to fight.
So tarper vibes.
Very offensive impression of a tarper.
Yeah.
But that's them.
I didn't know the term, but I was a tarper last night.
At the Beacon Theater.
Yeah. I got to a seat that wasn't mine and then threw up a big tarp over everybody. And then try to get up on top of the tarp.
And when they complain, it's like, oh, you fucking chompers can't shut up during the chompers. Show.
You treat a spunion like me like that.
I'm trying to tarp over here, you fucking chompers.
I can't even hear myself think while I'm trying to tarp. Chompers. Where's my Uber driver? He was supposed to circle the block.
I am not going to be fluffing this show.
It's all so ridiculous. See, I feel like all these terms are terms from people who do the, like, have been to 300 show type things. Like, it's a real, like, community that you're in there, rather than the casual fan like myself.
Sure, sure. Fair enough. I think you're right on the money. And I believe, do we have one or two songs left here? I think we have two.
Do we have two? Let's see. What else do we? Did I give you?
We played Loving Cup, Possum, Down with Disease, and the Jay-Z one. So that leaves us with two here. So the ones you gave us one extra, so that one's off the list now. But I don't know which one it would be. So we've got AC/DC Bag.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Weakapaw Groove.
All right.
And Blaze On to choose from.
Let's play Blaze On. So this is from a newer album. This is from, what's it called? Big Ship, I believe. And this is like a song that is very different from their other, like their newer albums are kind of like I didn't even listen really to the latest album. But this song, Blaze On, it's a fun one. You'll have some fun with it.
Let's have a little fun.
And please do note the length of the song.
Oh yeah. Oh, it is 4 minutes and 20 seconds long. And
whoa.
Holy shit. All right, let's hear Blaze On.
Too steep. You're on the highway now with high dusty, all the chemtrails raining down on you. The justice of the peace can't help you anymore. And they just took the covers off the justice of war. You got your nice shades on, and the worst days are gone. So now the band plays on. You got one life, blaze on. You got your nice shades on.
Yeah.
You're right. When it's you're fun. Right, you're right, H-Dog. That is a good time.
Thank you. It's fun. I like that lyric. You got your nice shades on. It puts me in a certain spot. You'll see me if you see me walking around in Brooklyn. I got headphones in and I'm kind of like my head's kind of wobbling back and forth. You know what I'm listening to.
It's pretty violent the way your head's moving. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my chiropractor hates me. But...
yeah, that was a good time. I appreciate the length of it. It's like, how did they nail that?
Yeah, I feel like they kind of they knew what they were doing there.
No.
They did that. They're like, wow, we must be the luckiest band in the world.
All right, we have one song left here. What are you feeling?
Let's do Weekapaw Groove. This is one of my faves also. It's another one of these Fish songs that's just like a big jammy one. And I'm not talking about, you know, when you go to bed.
I wish you could.
Well, so you could. I did wear, again, last night I was a jammy. I wore my jammies to the show. Anyway, which in the summertime is just a big long shirt. This one is a fun one for me. And it is one of those ones where the lyrics, like very minimal lyrics, but it's just the groove, baby.
Let's get into this groove. Here it is.
So crunchy.
It's nice. It's nice. And, yeah. That's a song where you'll see a Spunion like really doing aggressive, like the type of dancing you would do with like glow sticks in your hands, but without glow sticks and kind of pushing back and it's a type of dancing that is very unique, but it's the Spunion's world.
Now Spunion's dance like this, but Darby's dance like this.
Follow me on IG for more content, like
much more content. The bulk of the content is there.
Spunions versus Darpers.
Oof, I do not want to get in the middle of that. Even earlier saying saying like, oh, people have a problem with Fish fans because they're rich kids. I'm probably going to get some backlash on that.
We'll see. I think you're fine. Most of the people who listen to this show are gutter punks who they hate the rich.
Gutter punk. I got problems with those people too, man. They want me out because I'm deep into that scene too.
Of course. Yeah.
So you got to pay rent in this gutter.
I'm not really even sure what gutter punk is. I don't really know.
I was imagining a guy who lives in a, like, who just is laying in a gutter, but I guess that's more of like a wino than I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. You're thinking of like a cartoon character. I think.
That's mostly what I'm
Barney.
Is that like G.G. Allen? He'd probably be gutter punk, right? Or is that even.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I think I was imagining like a kid who lives in the streets.
Okay.
But
isn't that crust punks? Isn't crust that another punk thing? Yeah.
Crust punk.
Yeah. Sure. That is what I was looking for. You nailed it, Tommy.
Daft Punk are the two guys.
That's why it's a duo.
That's right.
Daft Punk's a duo, right?
Yep.
Not unlike you two. Wow. Hey. You both use microphones?
We might have been Daft Punk. No one knows. They're always wearing masks.
I got a feeling I know. Plus, we've all seen them without the masks. It's very easy to get those pictures.
Mike.
Well, you're on now with Daft Punk and Banksy.
So fun story about this song, the Weekapaw Groove, is first of all, it was first performed in 1988. Let's see, in an interview Mike gave on in 97, he said the
like
lyrics
the
bassist, are
not me.
Yes, not this Mike. Very, very confusing. Yeah, I mean, I guess it would have said change the name.
It would have said H Dog there, I guess. Or H Man, what do we say it was?
Oh, yeah, H-Dog.
H-Dog.
Yeah, H-Dog. Okay, good.
He says the lyrics are essentially meaningless. He said, so we came back to Boston from Weekapog, and I guess we were in the van or the Voyager we used to drive in, and that song, Oh, What a Night, came on the radio. You know that one, the awful Four Seasons song?
What?
I know. Like, we just got
like a hugely popular song.
I always had a particularly hard time hearing lyrics anyway, so I always would sing a song on the radio, sing along with the wrong words. So the bridge of that song goes, oh, I trying to something, but I was singing it, oh, I trying to make a woman that you move, which means nothing, sharing in a Weekapaw groove. So we all just started singing that as complete nonsense, trying to make a woman that you move. It never occurred to any of us that it had any meaning ever. There was a period of time that we were singing, and I used to just yell out the lyrics between singing them. I would just yell them out as if I was preaching them, just to sort of make it more ironic that they have no meaning. And this song was played at 26.68% of live Fish shows. These people are psychos. There's like all
these yeah, there's a lot of lyrics. So the Tom Marshall is one of the lyricists for the band, like he's not in the band, but like Trey's friend from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And he used to just kind of like, for some songs have meaning to him, but some songs just like bouncing strange words back and forth between he and Trey and like making up stories and things. It's like, they kind of just have no meaning other than they sound interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you make up what you want about the song, which I think is so, well, it's when you talk about art, when you really talk about art, that's what you're getting into. The best art. This is probably the best art we have.
What do you think the best painting is, H Dog?
Oh, H Dog likes a painting by Cezanne. Anything Cezanne puts brush to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I don't even know what I'm saying that name right. No, I'm Matisse all the way. Mm. Van Gogh can go to hell. No, I like it all. I love it all.
Van GTFO, they say. Yeah,
that's right. I actually, again, this is before the pandemic, but went to the MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, here in our fair city. And I got one of the headphones, and it was awesome. Like, walking around and actually, like, listening to headphones and looking at this stuff. So every time I go to a museum now, I do that. But I was like, oh, yeah, this painting that looks like nothing is everything.
Yes.
And everyone here without headphones is a fool.
All right, we have one more segment to get to before we close the show and rate the playlist and all that good stuff. So the next segment we have is where we go to the peanut gallery. Hope you're not allergic. They have their thoughts on fish. And first off, we go to the Patreon. The Patreon people who pay $3 a month to have their thoughts heard and also to get a bonus episode every week. Get on there, people.
Nice. Love the Patreons.
The first one here is from James Buntrock, who says, I went to a Dave Matthews concert once. Even though I was really high, I was still extremely bored by all the 20-minute instrument improv solos. This is how I know fish is not for me. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you're not liking the improv solos, that's what's going on there.
Probably going to have a bad time. JV says, years ago, my ex's brother asked us if we wanted to join him for a fish concert one state over to celebrate his birthday. He offered to pay for the tickets and everything, so we said, why not? Neither of us were fish fans. I, in particular, found that style of music to be unlistenable, but we figured we'd have a good time getting drunk and high and went with an open mind. Fish starts playing, we're smoking weed with strangers, and everyone is nice and having fun. It's a pretty good time. I was ready to have somewhat of a change of heart about their music, but I didn't, because they are terrible, truly awful, the absolute dumbest lyrics you have ever heard.
Damn.
Toothless, soulless instrumentals where any possible good influence is processed through the generic white guy funk filter and obliterated on impact. They even bust out a cover of Loving Cup. And that sucked too. Is he nice enough?
Only a true fluffhead would like that. Or fluffer.
Their fans were nice. So people funny. Had fun. But after the first 90 minutes of music, we had enough and went and fucked behind a porta potty, which was cool and not as disgusting as you might think. They played for about 90 more minutes and we watched none of it. Always shout out to Fish. Anyway, shout out to Fish and to Mike. The birthday boys was the shit. Hey, there you go.
Hey, all right. And he shouted out the band that he hates. Well, they fucked behind the porta potty, huh?
That's a weird addition. And I feel
it's a weird detail. Yeah.
Yeah. JV, we appreciate you.
JV, you're talking like a JV player.
Damn.
No, that's all very fair. I don't, you know, I know I'm supposed to defend the band here. I don't care what anybody listens to. I listen to whatever you want. And if you want to, hey, if you want to come down to the fucking loge and hang out with a few chompers, you know my number.
Oh, yeah, we did put your number out for everyone.
But good. Yeah, let's get this thing ringing. I downloaded a new ringtone. I want to see if it works.
Gary Myron says, fish is the oral equivalent of TLDR, aka too long didn't read. Great musicians though. Hey, that's a nice little burn there, Gary. Liz McNamara says, I think that this is for Mike. It just says, tell him that Kyle has a crush on him, which is Tommy.
Oh, that's my other sister. apparently has a crush on you. We're finding out.
Liz McNamara, this is your sister?
Yes. Yeah. I see. And Colleen is my younger sister. And, I see. Yes.
Okay. Are we brother-in-laws now?
Welcome to the family.
Buddy, you're going to be my best man, and I need a send-off party like no other. And I'm looking at you, man. I'm looking at you. You don't have to spend a lot of money to go to Vegas. You can do it cheap.
Yeah, we're getting an Airbnb in Reno, and it is going to be crazy. Just the two of us.
Look, man, I love her, but you got to give me one night, man. Well, then I'm flattered. Tell her I'm flattered. I was going to say something about the music sucked and went behind. Oh, so the going back to the story of the person who went behind a porta potty. So I late great Harris Whittles was a friend of mine in L.A. and knew Fish, and he was. You know, it's when you find these Fish fans, you kind of like, hey, the shows are coming up. You want to go? And he very graciously one time we were going down to Long Beach and he got a limousine for everybody to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were in a limousine for like an hour and a half, and just drinking a ton. And I remember getting out of the thing and just being like, oh, man, I drank way too much in that limousine. And it was one of those shows where everyone was down the floor. And I was like, OK, guys, hold on. I got to go sit down somewhere for a minute, and went like way up high in the seats and kind of like lost track of the show for probably like 2/3 of it.
Came
down like a little bit before the a little bit before the encore, and found him again. Like, where were you? And I was like, man, I was needed to be sleeping somewhere. But yes, those were always fun shows with Harris. He was a generous man, a funny man, and some a lot.
Yeah, I just went back and listened to Analyze Fish to the episodes you were on. They were great. So if anyone is interested in Fish, definitely check those out. They're so funny.
He's the way he attacks it too. He's a funny dude.
Yeah,
so funny. One of the first times I ever listened to Fish was on a Comedy Bang Bang compilation of stuff, and then they played a Fish song at the end. I was like, it was very moving. And you guys say the word chiller a lot in there.
Yeah. When he told me I was the master chiller or whatever it was, I was like, wow, me? I don't think you realize that internally I'm not, but it comes off that way.
All right, we got one more. Two here, actually. They're coming hot off the press. One more Patreon one, and then we'll get to the Twitter and Facebook if we have any. Adam Shellhammer says, I was into the right kind of stuff as a teenager, where I could have appreciated Fish, but it just never hit home for me. I still think Trey Anastasio is a great guitar player, and I think that Farmhouse, Waiting in the Velvet Sea, and Waste are all nice tunes.
Yeah.
And then Nolly Cab says, I've been to more Fish shows than I like to casually admit, and have been waiting to see you guys cover it. RIP Harris Whittles, you should be on this episode also. Also, shout out to Fluffhead.
For sure.
Shout out to Fluffhead.
I don't know. Maybe that's something we don't know about. Trey played Waste last night, and there's like, it's very kind of nice song. Especially just one person on acoustic guitar singing, and the line is like, come waste your time with me. And I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, all these people, because everyone was like singing it together. And like I said, the crowd was a little older. I was like, we've all been like, quote unquote, wasting our time with this band for years. Like, I've been into this band since sixth grade. So it's just been like constantly around. It's just a big touchstone for me.
That's awesome.
And I started crying because one of the tarpers pulled off my Dr. Seuss hat. Give me that back. I've got a cigarette stashed in there, you idiot. I was going to trade it. One
cigarette. You smuggled in one cigarette.
Yeah. I was going to trade it at the merch table.
Tommy, you want to just read the Twitter ones if there are any?
Yeah, there's just two comments from Twitter. We got a very long Twitter name. Teach me how to board it. Teach me how to said the ice cream is better than the band. What do you think about that, Mike?
Oh, right, because they do. Well, I mean, that's pretty telling that they're big enough to have an ice cream.
That's true.
Does this person think the band, the ice cream sounds better than the band?
When you're slurping it down, yeah.
yeah, maybe that's, they're into that. Maybe it's a whole ASMR thing for this one Twitter user.
And then Andy Sanchez says, they're stupid. They don't know how to spell Fish. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think he's just trying to get my goat. We all know what's happening here. Yes, it's a joke. It's a very funny band. They like to have a lot of fun. The lyrics don't matter, really. I don't think. What was I gonna say? You just mentioned something that I just lost my train of thought.
Fish food, or was it
no? Fish food. Yeah, I do. I do enjoy fish food. But Adam Schatz, you guys had him on the show before.
Yes. Yeah.
What did he talk about? What
band did G Love and Special Sauce?
Yeah.
I meant to bring this up earlier because that's another musician we had on.
I was going to say, you got G-Love? So Adam, yes, I texted him. I said, hey, I know you don't like Fish, but I know you're a trained musician and instruments and went to school for it. And I was like, what don't you like about this? Because I've been around like jazz people before and been like, oh, they must love Phish because it's all jazz and improv. And his whole thing was like, he didn't like that. He said, I don't like their songs and every note they sing, but I do appreciate them.
Every note.
Every note they play. But I do appreciate the fan base, their shows. Like he gets and appreciates it. I think he doesn't like the style of jamming. It like opened up this sort of like late 90s, 2000 style of jamming that kind of borrows from different genres, genre hops. And he didn't like the lyrics. So I could respect that. I could respect that. But I do think what the things I find impressive about Phish, I think, quote unquote, real music, like trained musicians, but I don't know, Phish is trained musicians too, might be like, oh, I can see the tricks at work here.
Yes.
If there are tricks, I don't know, but it just seems like, I don't know, the real musicians aren't, think they can go deeper.
Hell yeah. So it's a little choppy over here still. So I'm just going to read a couple of these Facebook ones and then we'll get to the rating. So first off, I have to give Jimmy Roberson a little bit. So Jimmy defended them at a live event, Stand By Your Band, that I tried to piece together for in Cincinnati. And it was brutal. But he defended Phish and he says best band on the planet. Wes Lockard says, didn't get Phish at all until I saw them at Bonnaroo 2019. It was completely blown away. Once I was actually there in person, I definitely got it and was so excited. I had to call my hippiest of friends to try to scream over the phone that I understood, but they couldn't hear a word of it. Apparently.
He's probably a Spunion.
Jeffrey McDonald says, I used to refer to Phish as Rafi for trust fund stoners, but your Rafi episode made me respect his music.
See, that's not, I think that's the trust fund thing is Trustafarian's thing, I think, is what the main complaint is.
There you go. You didn't get left hanging on that.
We're not all Trustafarians, though. Some of us are just trust fund boys.
No interest in the outside world.
No, I'm kidding. My parents don't have that much money. I wish they did. I keep telling them, even though they're both retired, I was like, would you two please go out and work more? I need that will to bounce up quickly.
Oh, you're such a morning person. Why don't you get up and make some dough, Pops?
I'm busy reading the music news. Keep you informed.
Tyler Snodgrass says, I know that hardcore Phish fans love their live stuff the most, but I think some of their studio albums are really good. Billy Breathes, for example, is great. And he says he's not like a huge fan, but he likes that album.
Billy Breathes is a good album.
Aaron Lampert says, best band ever. I truly believe you're not allowed to have an opinion on them unless you've seen them live. And I got to give Tony Zarrett the floor here as well. He says, the few times I've tried to listen, I always felt like they try to do too much funk, where every person in the band is playing the funkiest thing they can all at once, and it kind of sounds like a mess to me. But I think, like a lot of people, I had my expectations messed up when I was told by hardcore fans that they were like the world's greatest musicians. And then when I listened, they sounded more like upper echelon Guitar Center employees. But I finally came around to the Grateful Dead recently, so I'm open to the idea that I just haven't gotten the vibe yet. Very well put. Yeah. We love our Tony Zarrett. And
Tony Zarrett, I think I saw him at a show once, and I was wearing a Grateful Dead hat, and I think he had just gotten into him or something.
Oh, hell yeah. Tony's a good man.
I think so.
Yeah. Mary Houlihan wrote, she wrote, ugh, and then she wrote, okay, I'm back. I had to try a bunch of different search terms to find the Evite to my sister's funky 40 spelled with an H. And here's the message. It says, friends, everyone's favorites, again, spelled with PH, Kate and Dave are turning the big 4-0, spelled with a PH. Please come celebrate in our backyards with the phenomenal Josh Pearson rocks our faces, PH again, off with his Phish tribute band, JP Goes Phish. It's a good old-fashioned pizza, again, PH for fashion, pizza and keg party. Please bring anything additionally you'd like to enjoy. Kids, welcome. Like you, we don't waste food, so please RSVP. Oh, and you're the chosen ones. This part A is invite only. Come as you are, dressed to impress, or let your freak flags fly, all spelled with PHs.
At this point, I think I all the F's are probably.
most of you do all three anyway. And then finally, fondly, can you guess how that's spelled? Jilly.
Normal?
I love that this party is invite only, like this crazy funky party. Do not bring anyone who's not invited.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's peace and love, and we don't want to waste food, so we want to know, but it can be only be these people. And well, where was my invite?
All right, that does it for that does it for that segment, because we gotta wrap up here, and we gotta rate this playlist real fast. Also, like I said, my internet's a little goofy right now.
Oh, you rate the songs I gave?
We gotta rate it.
All
right. Yep. Just the playlist, and before we do that though, you get the floor for your final thoughts on
Fish. Okay, I'm trying to. Yeah, I would love to. I just don't think I'd have the microphone up that high. What am I trying to? People should listen to this band. Sure, you should listen to this band. Come out to a live show this summer. Go to a live show and don't pay too much so you're not thinking about like, oh man, I wasted money on this. But go with an open mind. Have a few, maybe a drink or two. Get some friends going. A lot of these shows in the summer are outside. At least they were in the past. I don't know what's going on with COVID now. I guess you'd want to be outside.
they're going all indoor.
Yeah. And give it a shot. And if you don't like it, that's fine too. You can go back to listening to Lit.
That is the Venn diagram. Yeah. It's either Fish
or
Lit.
Fish fan, you're a Lit fan.
I like to read Fish Lit. Let's close this bad boy off. I gotta tell you, so I've never really given Fish much of a chance, except for I listened to like Dirt. There's a few songs I really do like from Fish, and I think you did a great job today of picking a playlist of a mix of songs that work live and not live, and I really had a good time listening to it. Blaze On, it's 4 minutes and 20 seconds. I like some sweet green every once in a while. I'm a sour man. And I unlike JV, I liked their cover of Loving Cup. And I don't like the animal, the possum, but I enjoyed the song.
You're not alone there, my friend.
I'm going to go higher than I thought that I would coming into this episode. And I'm going to give this a solid, I'm going to go with a 4.5 out of six.
Nice.
Out of six. So
out of six. Wow.
That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. Really, Jay-Z is the one getting dinged here. Tommy, what do you got?
So I'm going to go. I also like the Loving Cup cover. I thought it sounded really good. I thought the keyboard playing on that one was great. Ooh. And I like Down With Disease already. I used to like, I had like a very brief phase when I was sixth or seventh grade where I really liked a lot of the Fish studio songs. Like I really liked Farmhouse and Waste and like a few of those songs. So I still have some fondness for those. And I have like two of my best friends are huge Fish fans. So they were always pushing that stuff. I could just never get into the 18 minute songs or the, it was always too daunting for me. I think this has been a band. It's a band that I have no ill will towards, but it's not for me. So I go 3 out of 6 for them, but no shame to the man who picked the songs, H-Man, as he's sometimes known.
H-Dog, what are you doing? What are you doing August 14th? You, me, Tom, the three of us, we're going to Atlantic City. They're playing a 3-night stint. Yeah. Come on.
Yes.
Dude, I go.
I'm in. I love it.
I've never been to AC, and I'm trying to get
Do you mind if I play the ponies first?
No problem.
Let's do it. I will say Loving Cup did make me weirdly want to bang behind a 4-5. All right. That's going to do it for this week. Mike, thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Is there anything you'd like to promote on the way out here?
Yes. I listen to the Sloppy Boys podcast. That's me, Tim Kalpakis, and Jeff Dutton, our band. We do a podcast now where we make cocktails from the ABV, International Bartenders Association, IBA list. And we're having fun on that.
That sounds awesome. I gotta get on there. I meant to ask you cocktail questions, but I'll save that for next time. Guys, get on the Patreon. It's $3 a month. Like I said, patreon.com/standbyyourband. And the next Good God is July 7th at the Sultan Room. Once again, last one was super fun. Tommy can attest. Yes. What a time, and get tickets fast, because it's gonna be packed. Tommy, what you got?
Tomorrow night, Union Hall, me and Luke Moniz's show. Come out. It's going to be a great time. Very excited. And also, check out those Sloppy Boys songs, not just the podcast. Yeah. They got some great songs. I'm a big fan. Like the Master Bung Ripper, which that video is so fucking funny. I just watched that recently.
Thanks. Yeah, that was John Haskell helped us out with that. He's a funny dude.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Hell yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Mike. We will see you guys next week with more Stand By Your Band. Keep it crispy. Bye.